Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, the Foreign Affairs Minister, who has a trail worn out at this stage to the Oireachtas Committee, is there again over the controversial champagne party. Now, of course, this is not unique. The same thing is happening in the UK at the moment with Boris Johnson, more or less. And the news follows weeks of controversy over the gathering of the Department of Foreign Affairs staff, and at the centre of it all, of course, is Simon Coveney, who was also at the centre of Merriongate as well, held in the aftermath of Ireland winning the seat on the UN Security Council. To join me and give me a little bit more information on it and what his feelings on it is, Pádraig Tobin from AIM2, leader of AIM2. Good afternoon to you, Pádraig.
Good afternoon.
Pádraig, I mean, look, you know, Simon seems to have a trail worn to the Oireachtas Committee at this stage. You know, I mean, obviously he was there for Merriongate. He's now there again in relation to this party. He says he didn't attend the party at the, you know, the Ivy House, but because it was a strict lockdown in place at the time. But he did attend the office and people seemed to be working when he was there.
Yeah, this is an incredible situation. So the context of this is that this party happened at a time when tens of thousands of ordinary people were being sanctioned for COVID breaches. So I put in a parliamentary question in June of last year, and that found out that over 40,000 people at that stage had been fined by the state for breaching COVID regulations. We also know that people have been sent to jail for breaching the COVID regulations. And a woman was sent to jail before Christmas for not wearing a mask, for example.
That's right, yes.
We know of a priest who was actually fined for saying mass during that period of time. And we also know that, you know, the restrictions were phenomenally draconian on families, especially families who are burying their loved ones.
So this would have been at the time where we would have had the 5 and 10K rules, etc., etc.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And people were burying their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters without the support of the community, practically, you know, on their own, you know, during this period of time. And also that, you know, businesses were massively suffering. You know, we know that tens of thousands of businesses have lost massive money. Businesses are going out of businesses, even still at the moment. We have a ludicrous situation that we have a quasi-lockdown even today happening across the country. If you walk around towns and villages, you'll see pubs and restaurants closed at the moment. So, you know, really draconian lockdown and restrictions, the longest in Europe, the most restrictive in Europe, and also the most costly in Europe. Our AIM2 has done research to find out that 41 billion euros have been spent by this state, you know, ameliorating
supporting businesses, etc., etc.,
exactly.
Put payments, etc. But now they did put a picture up, of course. This is how this all started. There was a picture of them all, who they seem to be all enjoying themselves with their champagne, etc., etc. They're saying, or their argument was, it wasn't a planned event, although the drink had to come from somewhere. So somebody did. You don't just arrive into work with a load of drink. So it clearly was planned to some extent. But I suppose Micheál Martin dismissed it 2 weeks ago and said, well, that'll be the end of the end of it. We're not going to be talking any more about it. But I suppose in the wake of what's happening in the UK with Boris Johnson now, you know, Simon Coveney obviously feels he needs to answer questions to the Oireachtas Committee.
But this is an incredible situation. It shows the hypocrisy at the heart of the political establishment. First and foremost, that there's a two-tier society, one tier for the ordinary citizens of this country that have to obey the restrictions, if not get fined or potentially go to jail, and another tier for the ruling class of this country that can have a champagne party in the middle of it all. And at the same time that we have most of the media class and the political class, you know, pointing the finger at Boris Johnson for doing roughly the same. You know, the department admitted that they broke the restrictions. The minister knew about the fact that they broke the restrictions. And he says he was there an hour and 40 minutes or 100 minutes after the photograph is taken. It's really hard to believe that, you know, by that stage, you know, the champagne bottles are back in the fridge and everybody's back at the computer is working away. You know, it's, you know, if the minister knew about it then, he had a responsibility to make sure that people were sanctioned according to his own rules, the rules of his own government. Mm-hmm. But as you have mentioned before, the government don't abide by their own rules. The rules are for other people. And the Zappone affair was another example of this where...
I suppose the argument is they're playing it down, saying, look, this was people who were at necessary work in the Department of Foreign Affairs. They had a little bit of a celebration because, of course, they had won the seat in the UN Security Council, and that somebody had just obviously ordered champagne, and that was an impromptu picture that happened to be taken. And to be fair, Pádraig, across the country during the lockdowns, there were occasions when everybody would have bent the guidelines a little bit, maybe, and done something maybe they,
listen,
they,
you know,
didn't adhere strictly to the guidelines.
I'm on the record and saying a dozen times, even on your own show, that much of the restrictions were OTT, were over the top, that didn't make sense, they were illogical. But I suppose the point of this is, if you have a government that's implementing the most draconian and the longest lockdown in the whole of Europe, and pointing the fingers at sections of society saying that they're a threat to people's health and well-being, while at the same time quaffing champagne at parties in departments, that's illogical. It's unfair. It's hypocritical.
So, but what should come out of it? I mean, realistically, are we just wasting more taxpayers' money and more time, having another Oireachtas committee, as we did for Merriengate, which nothing really came out of it in the end anyway, apart from a load of soundbites for the media. So is it just another, soundbite for the Oireachtas committee to listen to Simon Coveney telling us all, I didn't know about the party, I only arrived for a few minutes there, they all seem like they're working, sure, it's all grand, and there's a load of money being wasted to
Well, the first and foremost thing is, if you don't have accountability, you don't have change. You cannot change the culture of a government or a country if nobody ever gets censored for the actions that they take. If you say to people, it doesn't matter what you can do, you can flout any rules you want because you're a class of your own, you're better than us, well then, nothing's going to change in this country. But if you bring about a new culture, if you reform the political class and you say, from now on, politicians, civil servants, have to abide by the same rules as everybody else. And if not, there will be censure. There will be sanction. People will lose their jobs.
Didn't Leo Varadkar say that, they had no authority over civil servants, which surprises me. Mind you, that was the same comment that I was almost fell off my seat the other night on watching the Late Late Show when Ryan Tuberty asked Micheál Martin in relation to the 8 o'clock closing and the curfew, so to speak, on the hospitality industry and when it was going to be, lifted. And he said, I don't have the authority to answer that question. That's up to Neffet. And I'm paraphrasing, but I sat there in a gasp that the leader of the country on a national television, the most popular national television programme of the country, says he doesn't have any authority. And that, to me, blew me away.
But listen, Niall, this is what's happened for the last 2 years. The government of this country has literally outsourced the power to Neffet. Neffet are the most powerful organisation in the country. I, as a TD, have had to ask journalists to ask Neffet questions in relation to the logic behind their restrictions. And the idea that a person who's an elected member of the Dáil, elected from the people, is not allowed to question a person who is unelected in making these decisions is absolutely wrong. It's at the heart of the crisis that's happening in this country. I've seen the government make decisions amongst in their cabinet on the basis of Neffet telling them what to do and then driving to RTE and announcing those decisions while TDs such as ourselves have had to watch that on the televisions. It's absolutely wrong.
Should people lose their jobs?
People should lose their jobs if they broke the restrictions. People should be fined if they broke the restrictions. What happens to Mary and Joe on the street of the average town in this country should be no difference than what happens in the department or in the government.
And is the minister ultimately responsible for his own staff?
The minister is ultimately responsible. I don't believe that the minister didn't know that this was happening within his department. And if the minister didn't know this was happening in the department, he should have known. And as soon as he did know, he should have applied the rules. He didn't apply the rules. They thought they were going to get away with it. And it's only because opposition TDs such as ourselves are kicking up about this hypocrisy that now they're starting to say we should have an investigation into this. Only 18 months after the event, it took for Simon Coveney, the deputy leader of Fine Gael, to decide to have an investigation on this, while at the same time, all of them were laughing at what they called the crisis that was happening in Britain. Well, we had a mirror image.
Well, I think that's the only reason that we're talking about it, because as I mentioned already, when asked 2 weeks ago, Micheál Martin was asked in a press conference in Promptu, he answered that they wouldn't be doing anything more about it. It's only because of what's happening with Boris Johnson that we're actually talking about it.
Fianna Fáil have ceded government to Fine Gael in many ways. And if you look at situations like the Sapone affair, or even like the Taoiseach giving confidential reports to a friend in relation to a doctor's contract. Fianna Fáil have never stood up to Fine Gael in relation to what's happening. And it's in many of the ways, it's one of the reasons why Fianna Fáil's vote is so low at the moment. Micheál Martin is simply doing his best to stay in position for another 12 months. Okay. And they're not standing up for what's right in this situation.
Finally, Paddy, just before you go, I'm sorry to catch you off guard on this one, but IBEC have suggesting taxing child benefit. Now, they haven't put a threshold, but the threshold in the UK is 51,000 sterling, which is about 70 grand euro. Would you agree with the taxation if indeed the money was ring-fenced and used for child support services? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we would agree with that, because it doesn't make sense that people who are earning millions of euros on an annual basis, the Michael O'Leary's of this world, are able.
Well, he offered to give it back at one stage,
and that made sense. Like, but it doesn't make sense that people on really high incomes in this country are getting money from the state, money that's designed to help people on low and middle incomes to try and survive. They don't need the money. The money is being wasted in that spending and should be going towards childcare. We have a crisis in the childcare sector already. Ireland spends a fraction of what other countries in Europe spend, and as a result, people are paying equivalent to mortgages. People on low and middle incomes.
A lot of people do rely on that money, and you could argue that, okay, 70,000 sounds like a lot of money, but in today's society, when you've got increasing bills and increasing costs and mortgage costs and everything else, for a lot of people, that 140 quid a month, you know, goes into maybe the kitty to bring the kid away on holidays during the summer. And I do get that. So what would you set the figure at?
I personally would set the figure at a 100,000 euros coming into a household in relation to it. I think that's,
So that's combined, 100,000 combined.
Yeah, a family that's earning 100,000 euros. Shouldn't be getting child support at the moment.
You believe shouldn't be getting it, or should be taxed on it? Is it a bit of a difference?
I believe should be taxed first and foremost, but in the long term, and the difficulty here arises, if you start to take people out of certain payments, it can cost more to actually carry out the administration of taking them out of that payment. And what I would look for the government to do is to find out, is it feasible to do that? If it isn't feasible to do that, it should be just on the basis of taxation.
Well, I mean, it's easy enough to administrate. To do it in the UK, it's quite simple. All you do is declare it as income. And then it becomes taxable after a certain point.
Well, you got to understand that the average wage in the state is about 40,000 euros. So you've got mothers and fathers currently who are trying to pay rents of, you know, up to 2 grand.
That's why
a month.
I'm surprised you're putting it at 100,000, Pater, for a joint income or for a combined income.
To be taxed at that stage. So that means that as tax is not completely wiped out, they will still be getting up to 50% of that income into the household at that level. But people who are earning 40, 50,000 euros a year, who are struggling with mortgages, struggling with rent, it doesn't make sense that they have to pay another mortgage for their child care to be able to go to work. And we need to make sure that the state gives money to those who need it, and those who don't shouldn't get it or should be taxed on that basis.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Paddy Tobin.
Thank you.
Leader of AIM2, thanks for joining us.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.